Ivan, how did you come up with the slogan, or why did you come up with the slogan, Dreams Over Drugs?
Well, last year, when we sat down to think about an anti-drug program, they came to me and we looked around and saw the programs that existed, and most of them dealt with the negatives of drugs and how bad things are. So I was thinking about what the Christian's perspective should be, and of course, that's not how bad drugs are, it's how great life is. And developed the Dreams Over Drugs theme as a result of that.
Boy, how many hours go into a slideshow like that and the kids involved?
Hundreds of hours. If we rehearse Saturdays after school, we go on camping trips and rehearse the whole weekend. Just hundreds of hours.
The students at your junior high involved in the photos?
It's a means to get those kids involved, keep them off the streets, and to help use them to reach the younger kids in the elementary school.
Wow, that's fantastic. The show, the pictures of the aircraft carrier and the jets, those were actually taken by a student who got a pass to be on the aircraft carrier for a week. So that kid went there for a week, took those pictures, and a lot of the pictures in the show come from the students involved. Ivan, how did you make the decision to get involved in teaching?
Well, I started out being an engineering major at UCLA. I thought that as I became a Christian, I decided that I wanted to go into ministry and I wanted to be a youth minister. So I thought, well, given my standing at UCLA by this time, it's too late to just switch majors and whatever. I'll go out and be a teacher for a few years, get to know kids, and then I'll become a youth minister and I'll go to school and go to the seminary during that time. Well, the plan was to teach 5 years and then go into full-time Christian ministry. It's been 7 years now.
Taking any seminary classes?
Just one Lagos class. I had a chance to go to seminary. I got my application all filled out, and it's one of the older ones that's still sitting there. Everything's written. I just have to send it in.
Well, what keeps you from sending it in?
I have no time. I get home about 6 o'clock, and then I have to do all kinds of preparation work and then get to work on slideshows or whatever. And then Saturdays, I'm teaching with the kids, so I don't have time to go to class at this point. Maybe one of these years.
Yeah, good. Tell us a little bit about McClay Junior High School.
Well, Russ already said a little bit about McClay. You know, it's Pacoima. Those of you familiar with L.A. and the Pacoima area, it's not the best area as far as reputation is concerned. The kids are wonderful. I've never had problems with kids. The area is kind of rough. Lots of gangs, drugs, violence. Families that are broken. When the police battering ram was used for the first 2 times, they were both used nearby, next door to the students' houses and stuff like that. It's just not a good area. And the school is a good school, but the reputation is not good. They even pay people extra to go substitute there. They don't pay teachers extra, but it's got such a bad reputation, substitutes get extra money for going there, some kind of compensation or something.
When you found out that you were going to be assigned to McClay, how'd you feel about that?
I was assigned to McClay. I wasn't given a chance to say yes or no. Usually the process is you interview and then you go to a few schools and you sort of decide which one you want to teach at. The 2 days before school started, they called me up and said, you're going to McClay. And I was already all set to go to the school as a student type. And I stepped in, and the first day I was there, I walked into my classroom, and the place was just in shambles. They had been broken into the summer prior to coming back to school, and they never cleaned it up because it was never used again. And so the place was just, the fire extinguisher had been discharged, everything was on the floor, the desks were broken. I mean, your typical nightmare. When I walked in, I couldn't believe it. I spent all day and all night cleaning it up, and then school started after the weekend. And I was extremely bitter. I went to the superintendent and I told him that, I'm confused to me. I was already assigned, or I thought I was going to go to the school at student time. And they said, take it or leave it. And they were just loving it. I didn't know that. So I took it. Had I said, I'm leaving, they would have said, okay, we'll give it whatever you want, because math teachers are in short supply. So I started teaching there, and I was really, really bad. Just every day I was bitter, and I didn't like being there. The school was understaffed, so I had a conference period. I would teach every period plus home, 7 classes. And then one day I was driving home, and I remember vividly, I was just passing underneath the Ventura Freeway, obviously, and I was driving the San Diego Freeway. And all of a sudden, I just sort of gave up and said, okay, God, you've obviously put me here for a reason. And if you did that, then who am I arguing with? And immediately, I'm not preaching experiential theology, but immediately this heavy burden was lifted, and I felt peace and joy. And I came back to school, and I began to give myself to the students, and it just sort of went from there.
Well, that's fantastic. Your perspective then on your job versus some ministry, how do you view that?
Originally I thought for us that ministry is something that you go to seminary for, and then you come out and you serve in a church or in a missions field or whatever. And teaching in a public school is just sort of a stepping stone to that. Since then I've changed my thinking about that, because to me, teaching in a public school is really a ministry in its own right. I've had a lot of opportunity to share with kids, and that's the main thing that teaching is so valuable for, is it gives you the chance to build relationships, to get into the public schools where outside groups like Youth for Christ or Campus Life can't get into, because you're there, you're their teacher. You have instant credibility with the parents, with the students, and then if you can win their trust and win their love, then they'll listen to anything you say and really test the fun things. Telling kids, we told them there's a gap in the world, a bridge in there to jump across, they believe everything. It's really, you can tell kids anything, they'll believe you, they trust you. And so that's, to me, teaching is a ministry in its own right. It's an extremely valuable ministry because of the influence you do have on the kids. And conversely, the tragic influence that non-Christian teachers can have. I know of cases of teachers who are not only non-Christians, but extremely immoral, and they pass their lifestyles onto the students. And the ones that are really atrocious get sent to jail, and the ones that are subtle, you never hear about, but we do. And there are homosexual teachers that tell kids how wonderful being a homosexual is, and how great it is in class. You know, a biology teacher who does that. There are other teachers who carouse and drink and whatever, and tell kids how wonderful that is. And it's a tough fight, and these teachers are popular. If they weren't popular, the kids would listen to them. We're talking about popular teachers who are hip, who the kids respect, and they're good teachers too. But they have these lifestyles that they advocate. And I always try to get in there to get to the other side as I can. When kids get pregnant, these teachers would advise, counsel, and actually take them to abortion clinics. I do my best to talk them out of it, but it's always a battle, and that's just, we need Christian teachers in there. Hmm. Be the positive side of these things, because there are so many non-Christian teachers.
Yeah.
We do otherwise.
You probably just make tons and tons of money.
Yes, I do. $2 million a year. I'm just getting by the audience that it's hard having to own two jobs.
Yeah.
Something for Jesus. No, when I started teaching, I was making $12,000 a year, which sounds really awful, but it was enough for me. It's higher than that now. Not greatly higher. And you make less, as a matter of fact, than some of the private schools. But LA Unified compensates their teachers pretty well. You have Frenchmen, but you do not get paid in the summer. People think it's a free ride. No, I have to drive buses in the summer. I'm a charter bus driver in the summer. And I actually make more money driving buses than I do teaching. I don't believe what I do. And the money is not the issue. The issue is, what are you doing with your life? To me, money has never been an issue. I was an engineering major at UCLA. I switched to math so I can teach math. But I have friends who are making 3-4 times as much as I do. They're happy with their job, and I'm not faulting them for that. I love my job, but I would never give that up.
Hmm.
So the money is not the issue. It's the time that you're going to spend doing what you're doing. If that's to you valuable, that's the whole compensation that you really need.
Ivan, have you seen some kids come to Christ through all of this?
Through all of this, we've seen a few kids. Russ, you know some of the kids that we talked with. And over the years, the number of kids that have become Christians, they've seen that their lives are empty and they do need Christ. in those cases gone on to much better things. They've gone to high school or college. At the same time, we've also seen a number of kids fall away. And just recently, one of the students that became a Christian through this guy from DE, he had visited her after I referred her to this couple, and they went to visit her. She is now pregnant for the second time, and she's only in 11th grade. So we've seen both sides. Those kids live in a tough environment. I was speaking with a couple of kids not long ago, and these are wonderful students. They are straight A students. They are really the best kids you can think of. And they were dating, these both girls were dating gang members, thugs, who were doing drugs. By the way, the drug dealers, I have to tell you about the community. The culture is such that they don't see any discrepancy between dealing drugs, the immorality and all that with their so-called Christian belief. Our community is heavily churched. Not many are Christians, but almost everyone goes to church. And these drug dealers go to church with their beepers, and there's another beepers. We outlaw them in schools, all the neighborhood schools. And what happens is if someone wants to make a bomb, they get beat, and they run out and make a sale or whatever. And so these drug dealers, they go to church, they carry their beepers with them, and during the middle of the service, they have to go get up and eat and sell drugs and come back and sing and pray or whatever. Anyway, I was asking these two girls why they were dating these thugs when they had so much going for them. They were intelligent, they were pretty, they were, you saw them on the screen, by the way, some of them. And they said, Mr. Chang, in our community, you know, that's all we have. And so you sort of set up for what's there. And unfortunately, that's the thinking. The girl that's pregnant for the second time, her boyfriend beats her. And she still stays. I get emotional if I think about it. She still stays with it because, and that's the reason she got pregnant, is to keep him. Because they had nobody else. Recently, three of my students tried to kill themselves. And they just had no home lives. Sometimes the students get pregnant, but it's their lives. It's a tough place. Those kids are under a lot of pressure, and they need all the help they can get. I've been in other positions elsewhere, both teaching and non-teaching, and it's sometimes tough, but I stay there because I do love those kids. Corny as that may sound, you do build a lot of love and trust and stuff. And I stay in touch with the kids over the years. They come back, they just need to see the ones that do make it and succeed. It's really sad to see the ones that don't. Two of my former students are in jail right now for murder. And they killed a man for fun. These two guys just thought it would be fun to kill somebody just to see what it's like to kill someone. So we get this guy back. So you see these sides. It's a tough community these kids grow up in. And like Russ mentioned earlier, the inner city schools, that's where they hurt the most, and that's where they need the people to come. Start around here.
Well,
come and work with those kids.
It's good to feel your emotion. You know, that word that Christ had compassion on the city, or he had compassion on the leper, or he had compassion on that word describes a real gut-wrenching, inert, just a turmoil there that captures all of your emotions. And it's good to see that you're like Christ. We don't get to see very much of that. What's it take to be a good teacher?
Well, there are a couple of things. You got to love kids. If you don't love kids, then it's not the place for you. You've got to be a good teacher of your subject. It's hard for the administration, for fellow faculty members, and for the students to respect you if you don't know what you're talking about. And I've seen some Christian teachers come to my school, and they, because of their unprofessional behavior as far as teaching is concerned, their credibility was shut down. The two of us. I would say first and foremost, you have to be a good teacher, because of those of you, whatever your subject you're studying, do the best you can with it. Learn your math, learn your history, whatever. I mean, it sounds so secular, but it's important. If you're going to be a teacher, you have to know what you're talking about. And then second of all, first or second, good. And then you have to have that love of kids and be willing to give yourself to them, your time, your money, and just everything that you have, your privacy. Kids will call you. I've had students show up at my door at 3 in the morning needing help. If you let them do this, if you give them the chance, they will open up. And you've got to make a job, be a gospel. People love these kids. Teaching is a great place for them to do that.
Could a couple... Not that this would ever happen at the Master's College, but could two students actually get married and go live? We don't have enough dating around here. I was just a little plug. could people like from this school actually get married and live down in Pacoima?
And I think God has called a lot of you down there. No, I'm serious. If you get a chance to, right in that area, they're building all these beautiful, new condominiums and single-family houses. Beautiful. And we have a bonfire thrifty drugstore.
No kidding.
Yeah, McDonald's is there, and Church of Fried Chicken. We're ready for you.
But do you think if they actually did that, would Ivan, from your experience, could they be as happy, could they be as fulfilled, and at the end of their life say, I did it right, as if they'd gone and lived in Valencia and were engineers and made five times the money? I mean, is there a quality of life that is going to compare?
These are things that you can't put into, certainly can't put into monetary terms. You're definitely not going to get nearly as much money. Houses are not as nice. But as far as your own satisfaction, your, you know, as you face yourself in the mirror, as you have your quiet time and speak with God, you will have that assurance that this is the right thing, and you will enjoy it too. There are hard times, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are times when it's really tough, and I get up in the morning and it's tough. But overall, for me, there's no other place to go. I was going to go to seminary and come out and be a new pastor at the church, but since then, my plans have been altered. I now even plan to get more involved in the inner city. And even think, I live close to school now. I used to live in West LA, but now I live in Panama City, which is around the corner from Grace. I eventually hope to move closer to the opportunity and just like kids over for Bible studies.
Fantastic. Well, our time is kind of gone, but Ivan, we want to thank you very, very much. Please.
If any of you are interested, you know, just like a steam clay, I'd like to just invite you to feel free to come. Russ is able to come on campus numerous times, Paul Cash, Dave Robbins, a lot of actors and greats have been able to come. All of you are welcome. I'd be honored to have any of you who are interested, whether teaching or not, to come and want to just be a part of it and to share with the kids, see what we do out there.
There are teaching assistant jobs, didn't we?
Oh, yes, this is wonderful. Terry Harris works there, Matt Shaw works there. We have teaching assistant jobs. The only requirement is that you have to be going to school in one class. I think all of you qualify. And the pay pretty well. The starting pay is $8 an hour. And they work it around your school schedule, like if you have classes, whatever, morning, you work in the afternoons, etc. And you get a chance to really work with the kids and develop a lot of close relationships with them. So you can check into that too. But not just my school, but all LA schools have such positions open.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.